gorgeous.
Wow. We didn't do anything. It just came up.
It just came up.
This comes up.
The Menard is beautiful.
That is really pretty.
Look, who knows today's date?
What about it?
June 27th.
All right.
27th, yeah. I would have come up with it eventually.
You knew you were just about there.
Yeah, not
and
quite.
I'm talking with Nora and Jill.
And Jill can talk today.
No, we're both talking because you are 3 years older than me.
That doesn't make any difference.
And that does make a great big difference.
Not now.
No, but it did.
This is a Gretchen.
So you want to, well, we talked last time about how your memories are different because of age difference.
That's
and also
right.
We all have our own filters.
Right.
So I would love, you don't need to agree on anything you experienced or know, but
yeah.
I'd love to hear that from two different perspectives.
Well, we'd stay away from each other.
Great. Well, I'll tell you what, since we're sitting in the salon, did you want to tell us about this room?
Well, it had another fire. It had another stairwell coming down over there. We know that.
A central stairwell.
Central stairwell.
And there's that was the front door.
That was the front door, and there was a hallway. But he took all that out to make his
big room.
And he built this table for Sunday dinners and dinners for whoever.
I think he and Colt were into that, not mission.
The mission, no. I don't know what they did their own thing, I think, pretty much.
No, they did, but they were influenced.
Maybe.
You're talking about the style of furniture?
Yeah, yes. You know, they made furniture.
They were influenced.
There's a beautiful...
By simplicity.
Arts and crafts.
Yeah, arts and crafts. There's a beauty of a over at the mill. I think it's still there. Nobody's stolen it. A bench that Colt made. For the, I don't know whether they made it for the mill or whether they just commandeered it.
No, he made it for the mill.
I think he did. Yeah,
it's a chest.
It's a chest, yeah.
Right.
Very nice.
They say that every time the water comes up, it gets a little, I think it gets wet feet, but but they wade in and they take it out and they put it up where it can dry out and then they put it back again. In the same place.
Let's back up a little bit, because not everyone will know who you mean by Colt.
Morgan.
Give us a little background on Colt Morgan.
Morgan Colt is a...
is a relative of...
grandfather.
The gunmaker.
Well, we don't know.
A wealthy man.
Probably, yeah. He's a wealthy man.
And he lived in Shinnecock, Long Island.
That's right.
So...
But grandfather met him on his travels in his houseboat. Yeah, he had a houseboat.
Right.
And Susie, who we grew up with, she was older than us, but she was an adopted child, probably from New York or one of those places where they... wasn't there a great adoption of children or placing children in... had to do with New York. I remember something about that. And I think they made a movie of it. But I'm not sure. But she was part of that group of people.
Well, that's what I don't know. If that's
no, but group. That was the same. That was that time.
Anyway, she was adopted by the Colts.
And Susie lived here.
Susie lived at the Colts right across the street.
So how did it happen that Morgan Colt came? I understand he met grandfather via the houseboat. How did he come to move here?
Well, there was a great network of canals between around New York, New Jersey, and here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he got down here, via the canals and the rivers and what have you, because it was a network of freight. But we had the coal barges going through.
Right.
You can still find coal
huge
along the canal.
Of coal when
the canal bank, they're big hunks of coal that they...
Somebody would throw at something.
Throw at something.
Probably a creature.
Yeah, a creature.
So, and then did grandfather invite Morgan Colt to come here? How did he...
No, he just wanted to, he just thought it was a great place.
A beautiful place.
To live.
And they, I guess, became instant friends.
They were great friends, yeah.
So.
Yeah, Morgan Cole.
Because he was a painter too, Morgan Cole also.
He was a good painter, yeah. But he had his ironwork in the Gothic shop in New Hope. The Gothic shop was sort of famous. Mm-hmm. They made iron furniture.
We have a bellows that he had. We have a...
My mother bought a little bellows from it, but it was made in France.
The bellows was?
Yeah, that was made in France, but it was sold in the Gothic shop.
Right.
Because that's where she saw it.
I think he embellished and he painted.
He may have done something with it. Well, there were a couple of painters here. Right. Enid Grant, the English girl.
Yeah.
That lived in one of the cottages in the back.
Can we come back to her?
Yeah.
I want to hear more about Morgan.
He was wealthy. He had Mrs. Colt. We loved Mrs. Colt. And we would always go over to see Mrs. Colt and her parrot, name of Jackie.
She had a parrot?
An African gray. We loved Jackie. And he had a very beautiful and very ornate cage that he
resided in, that they had made for him.
Because Mr. Colt was into the forge in the back, and he could make furniture.
Things hanging from it.
Oh, it had all kinds of things. And he was hung outside. Yeah. And he ruled the neighborhood, I guess.
He would tuck himself under Mrs. Colt's
neck.
Yeah. Be warm with her.
Yeah.
He
wouldn't do that with us.
But anyway, Mrs. Cole used to wear, she wore, as I remember her, she was in black because her husband had died. And that's what women did in those days.
Yeah, they did.
And she wore chokers, beaded chokers. Older women did that.
Or they were velvet.
Now they wear turtlenecks for the crepey business. And
she was a lovely
And she
woman.
Was a lovely person, very welcoming, and just really.
Mr. Colt resurrected this building over here for his home, which was the old piggery and its slaughter business and all that. I'll show you the slaughter bench that my mother resurrected.
We use it for flowers.
Nor we have to remove everything off.
No, we don't. Mm-mm.
I can come back and look at that. Maybe I'll take a photo of it.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't have to do that today.
Right, that was a slaughter bench.
Okay.
Yes, we're besieged with little black fungus flies. They come out of the plants, come out of the cellar.
Terrible.
So, again, I want to pick up the thread about Morgan Cole. So he came here because he loved the area.
He loved the area.
He set himself up in the old piggery.
Yes, he built a home.
He built a beautiful
home over there. Yeah.
And it is beautiful.
Beautiful.
It has
home.
Huge slate floor. It has
it's marvelous.
Floors made of huge black
slate. Slates,
I guess it's
Pennsylvania
slate.
Slate, yeah. That's what it is. The floors are beautiful, but you don't dare drop anything on those floors.
No. Anyway, Joyce and Brooks
Kaufman
own it now.
Yeah. And they have the inn. They bought that.
Morgan Cole didn't stint on beautiful oak. He had oak beams and everything in the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brooks, being an architect, saw that.
And he would carve these things too.
Yeah.
He would make sure that they were exactly what he wanted. And he liked my grandmother very much, and she had a monkey for a while that nobody could stand.
Well, that came up from...
who had the monkey?
Grandfather's friend, Harry Snell, who was a painter.
Uncle Harry. Uh-huh.
Brought the monkey up from Philadelphia because he could befriend animals out of trees. He was one of those Cornwallian people who talked to the animals. Right. It came up here and it caused chaos.
Tell me more.
Well, it would leap on people's heads.
Hold on, let's hear
my mother came
and
up.
She has to go back to the train ride, when it took the train ride up, Nora.
Yes, with a little hand coming out and pulling on the conductor's panel. This little exquisite black hand, no bigger than that, tiny. Oh my God, it was an organ grinder's monkey type, you know, that type of monkey.
Yeah.
And he was fairly tame, but nobody liked to come here. There was a man up at the, where we were voting the last time. He said, well, my mother did not like me. We did not like to come to the Lathrops because of the monkey. Because it would land on your head and swirl around in your
head. And do things in your hair.
It's like Johnny Carson. Remember Johnny Carson would have an animal? Oh my God, I never laughed so hard when I said Johnny Carson with that monkey. Oh dear. Anyway, we had that experience. The house with the monkey. This was now
so
house.
It lived right here.
Yes.
And it was it loose in the house? Let's hear.
It was
Jill
loose. It was loose.
Yeah, it was.
And grandmother had a sewing room
right above
right
the
up
kitchen.
The stairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it got into all her.
When he got into all her threads and made cobwebs all over. I mean, he was very, he was difficult.
Very destructive, yeah.
But he turned out to be a she.
Yeah, Petey. Petey turned out to be a Patricia, and so he was sent to the zoo. They took him at the Philadelphia Zoo, and they told you and I that he had a baby, but we never saw the baby because they all looked alike. There were thousands of those monkeys on Monkey Island. They were all the same kind of monkey. I think they came from the organ grinders monkeys.
So
or
you don't know which one was Petey?
No,
or
we never found out which one.
Tell me some other things that Petey did.
Well, Petey would, if Petey took a liking to someone, he'd sit on the shoulder, run right up and sit on their shoulder and go into their hair and mess it up. And, you know, he wasn't good to have outside when people came to visit.
That's all.
And people would come to either buy a painting, maybe, or to go to register for summer school or something with grandfather. And Petey caused a problem. And finally, Granny decided that she couldn't take Petey anymore. So I guess Uncle Harry took him back down to the zoo. They found out that
The zoo would take him.
So did Uncle Harry just show up one day?
No, Uncle Harry was met by grandfather in Oxford.
Yeah. Saltash.
No, was it Saltash?
Culver Park.
We don't know.
They met in Cornwall.
I'm not sure. But anyway, we're not sure.
Let me go back a little. So I'm talking about Petey. So did he just bring Petey home? Or was grandfather expecting Petey?
No, well, not particularly.
I don't think grandfather was expecting Petey at all, but he said he would take him in.
Okay, so we took him in.
Uncle Harry lived in the bank
top
building.
At the top of the bank building,
and I don't think the bank...
In New Hope, where Starbucks is?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
but I don't think
they had that whole upper balcony thing up there. You could look over all of New Hope. We'd love to go down.
And Aunt Floey, Florence Snell, painted that.
Mm-hmm. That's a self-portrait. I think she used a
Florence Snell.
She was one of the first illustrators.
She probably refused the monkey.
Well, she did because it was destructive, but she was one of the first women illustrators in New York.
Yes.
She was.
She didn't want to handle a monkey. She already had a parrot.
That was later on that they had that parrot. Yeah, it was a little parrot, but mean.
Well, Nora didn't like it.
We're talking about Jackie.
No, Jackie was Mrs.
That's a different parrot.
Yes, yeah, a different
parrot.
Mrs.
Chloe had her own parrot?
Yeah, she had a little green parrot. He wasn't very big, but he's a robin.
He didn't like Nora, but he didn't seem to bother me. He didn't bother me.
Well, he didn't bother Aunt Flo either. She fed him.
No.
And he didn't bother Uncle Harry because he had that gift of animal.
But Nora said she didn't like him because apparently he went after her or something.
No, I guess he bit me. He bit everybody, I think.
Well, he didn't bite me.
He was a great watcher.
I don't remember even being bitten, but anyway. So, but she was a really good painter.
Wonderful painter. She was probably better than Uncle Harry in a way. Better painter.
In what way?
Talented.
Well,
Uncle Harry did wonderful seascapes
and
boat yards and things like that.
You can't say that. They were both classically trained. Both of them were classically trained.
Yeah.
So, you know, can't say that.
So do you think we should try harder to take turns talking?
Whatever.
Or what do you think?
I don't know. She remembers things differently.
I know. And, well, it's wonderful how you can build on each other's stories.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
Well,
you did
have to pick Uncle Harry up for Sunday dinner. Every damn Sunday we had to drive down there and get him and bring him up here.
Who's we?
Daddy, me. I don't know whether Jill went on these trips or not.
Yeah, I did.
She guessed she did.
Yes. You would pick him up and he would come back here for Sunday dinner?
Yeah, for
Sunday dinner. Yeah.
And he also was the only one who could get along with our dog, Benny. He bit us all the time and stole our bread and butter. He didn't like us either. And he didn't like the Ballin boys either.
No, but he did like Uncle Harry and Daddy.
He adored Uncle Harry and Daddy.
He was a little black dog.
He was
sort of like a lab, but very low.
Jill, he was half Spaniel and half Scotty.
I know, but he had no hair.
Because he had probably mangy.
He had no hair. I mean, he
had sleek hair.
It was
very
sleek hair. So Scotty would have had bunches of
not necessarily. Some of them would have. Maybe they didn't have first choice of the dog. I picked him out and called him Betty. And Jill and Granny said, you can't call him Betty because he's a boy. So she said, how about Benny? So he became Benny. That was that.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, he disliked us. He would avoid us. And
unless we had bread and butter.
He had a bark, a certain kind of bark, that sounded like Ubba, Ubba. And we liked to hear. We teased him to make him say Ubba, Ubba. This is when we were older. And Uncle Harry, he loved. And Uncle Harry didn't have any ball, so he would pick up a river stone and throw it for Benny. And Benny would retrieve it and bring it to him and drop it.
Benny had no teeth.
So he had all his teeth wore down.
Stubs.
From the stone.
From the stones.
His teeth wore down, but that didn't matter. I think if he bit us, he pinched us. And it was like a pinch.
He would hum at us. You know how those little dogs will hum at you? And you know to stay away. So we would try to stay away, but once in a while we'd poke him. Just make him hum. He would go, hum.
Well, that's when the Ballin boys
And he had a rolling eye. Wonderful rolling eye.
The Ballin boys loved to make him say Ubba Ubba too.
Yeah, well that was
thought that was great.
It was very exciting.
Anyway,
during
to
the
get
war,
back to Morgan Cole. Morgan Cole gave created a doorstop for our grandmother with the monkey on.
Yeah, I have it here.
May I see it?
Yeah, I'll put it on the table.
I think it's right behind that little table.
I know where it is.
Okay. Here it comes. The other side. Which side?
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah,
no,
that side.
This side.
That's fabulous. Tell me more about this. Doorstop with the monkey in it.
Well, I don't know what Morgan Cole, he broke, one of these is broken. And it lasted. It was sitting up in the attic on a shelf. So it never got bothered again. Because Granny didn't like the monkey and she didn't like this, so she put it up in the attic on a shelf, and of course, that's where it stayed.
Is that our mother or?
Our mother.
Our mother.
Your mother did that.
Because she liked to live in the attic. She liked to too. There were four rooms up there, too.
Okay.
He had to come down for the bathroom, but four rooms up there and four rooms this way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was built as a, it was a boarding house, and she called it a boarding house.
Mm-hmm.
And she had renters.
Right. And that's our mother.
That's
later
our
on.
Mother.
Right.
Did that.
But anyway.
Okay. Let's, did, what did you want to say about the monkey door stop, Jill?
Nothing. I'm just, I was surprised to see it.
Yeah, it was up there.
Meaning
we
knew you that didn't, know it,
well, we
you
went,
didn't know it existed?
No,
no,
because we can't. We
and how
kids.
Do you know it's is that?
Well, I'm sure Morgan Colt or one of the girls did this. Somebody did
mm-hmm.
it.
Well, Morgan Colt did it, and because Daddy always said that Morgan Colt did it. And
But don't forget we
Daddy had talked about it.
Yeah, we had aunts.
I don't think he signed it, but maybe he
mm-hmm.
did.
I don't know.
If he signed it, it's there signed.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. But that's mm-hmm. that's a Colt way.
It's Colt.
All the Colt twist and the Colt
mm-hmm.
curlicues and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It did mm-hmm. have some nice paint on the top and everything. But
I think he did it as a gift.
He did.
For
it was a gift.
Our grandmother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. Not that Granny Lathrop liked the monkey so much.
No,
it was
I
a
don't
nice
think, well,
gift.
She took it in.
Yeah.
It caused a problem. But maybe not too many problems. It's just that people who came didn't want their hair mussed. And,
right.
You know, I mean, you would.
And also.
Some people probably thought it was very funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And there were a lot of vendors, too, would come.
But
there.
We had two people report say that they didn't like that monkey.
No,
and they liked to go to up to Mr. Garber's, but they didn't like coming here.
Well, that was the children.
It was right.
Yeah, because they could because visit the farm.
The monkey.
Animals.
Right.
The Garber.
Okay.
Garber's always that's had sheep.
Their children liked the farm animals at the
right.
Garber's, but they
yeah.
didn't particularly
yeah.
like the monkey.
They didn't like
right. so they would,
to visit the monkey.
They would visit here, and then they would go up there.
What era are we talking about? When would the monkey
well, this was
here?
Pre-World War II.
Yeah, it's the 20s, maybe?
Yeah,
early,
no, earlier than that.
Early.
I think probably between 19 and...
Well...
The teens and...
1920... Well, I don't know when Colt got here. When did Mr. Colt get
early.
Here?
Early. He was early.
I bet there's
early
a,
part of the
I bet
city.
There's a date on that house when he...
There's a date on the Cooper shop
I
when
know.
Miss Hope was...
That's... Yeah, but I bet there is one on...
Well, maybe.
Because people do things like
we
that.
We had to pull the ivy
could be
down.
On the gate or something.
I don't
anyway,
know.
We don't know what Joyce and Brooks know, and maybe they know.
I don't think they do.
That's the Kaufmans?
Kaufmans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they know about
the
that.
The Kaufmans would be really good to interview, too, I would think.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, you'll have to go in for
we'll it. See. We'll see. Well, we started yeah. talking about Mr. Colt because you mentioned this table, and we were talking about the salon, the room
well,
we're sitting
Daddy
in now.
Well, grandfather had five children.
Mm-hmm.
Always a guest. Somewhere.
Yeah.
And he had his wife and himself.
Yeah.
And they had Andy. And
Andy
was a black man from Lambertville who did all kinds of things. He was a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
He raked, he mowed the grass. He
did he live here?
No, he lived in Lambertville.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did live in the Cookman.
Well, no, he didn't live.
He didn't?
No. No, he had
you're
a bathroom,
sure.
Andy's outhouse, my
oh,
mother
that's
called
right.
it. She said, oh, that's Andy's outhouse. Well, there's an outhouse out there, which everybody used
yeah.
here in the early part
mm-hmm.
of the...
Right.
Because it was in the orchard, and nobody paid much attention to it.
Right.
He'd been gassed during the war.
So he couldn't talk
First
very
World
well.
War.
Yeah, First World
and
War.
And so he couldn't talk
very well.
Very well.
But guess who had him down pat?
Who?
Jackie the parent. And my father used to laugh till the tears would run down his face because Jackie
would
imitate Andy.
Like Andy.
He said, I've never heard such a wonderful imitation.
Because the parrot would be outside in his cage over the wall, and he could hear everything. And
Andy
liked to talk to himself. He talked to himself.
He was a lovely man.
And he was really
a lovely person. He was a lovely man.
And he remembered how what he did for Mother. He cooked. He saved the turkey.
No, he didn't. He put the turkey in the oven, and he wanted to show it to her.
Okay, so there are two versions of this story.
No, there aren't really.
You remember it differently?
Well, yeah, we know what happened to the turkey. It went down the cellar stairs.
I don't understand. Start from the beginning. What is this turkey?
Well, was it Thanksgiving turkey or Christmas turkey?
Daddy had given Andy as a Christmas present to our mother. Now, you might have to word this differently.
Wait, I don't get it.
Andy was a hired man.
Right.
But Andy could do anything.
He was a cook.
So he could put on a white jacket and do what he had to do here. And he could put on his old clothes and do what he had to do out there. He was just generally a good man. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Bowen boys would pick a little bit at him. Why would they do that? I don't know, just because he was
because
black.
Because he was gassed, maybe.
And he'd been gassed in the war, and that made him talk funny, you know. That's what that was.
Anyway.
He wasn't a normal person.
Our father, as a gift to our mother, because he was pretty poor most of the time.
His school ran into the ground.
Gave her the Christmas present of having Andy cook the turkey, because Andy was a great cook.
He was.
Wonderful. Hold on. Okay, keep going, Jill.
So, Andy...
watch out for Jilly.
No. Andy opened the oven door to show her the turkey.
With a flourish,
With a flourish, and...
The turkey took off.
The turkey was in the oven?
Yes. It took off and went down the cellar stairs, which is right opposite. Right where we're sitting is where the turkey went down the stairs.
Anyway.
How did that happen?
It just slipped.
I think the stove was probably in a different place.
No, it was like that. Pretty much like that. Yeah, because it was facing out this way.
Well, anyway.
Our mother thought that was pretty funny. Well, so she fled. No, Mother fled. She fled. And
chicken.
To leave Andy alone with this disaster. But she said the turkey came out for dinner, the most magnificent bird she had ever seen. She said it was beautiful.
So
nobody ever put it back together, I guess.
That
was so funny. Terrifying.
It
was terrifying because it did slip out of his hand and sail across the room.
Anyway,
we didn't see that.
You weren't born yet, or you just weren't in the room?
We weren't here, I guess. We were living in the Cooper shop maybe then.
Well, she married Daddy when? What year?
Who knows? I'm not sure. Sometime in the 20s.
25, 20.
There's a picture of the wedding trip, and she looking gorgeous and a little bit pregnant. And she had to wear somebody's dresses. I forget whose dresses she was wearing so she could fit into it.
Probably Aunt Libbett's, because Aunt Libbett was very kind.
She lived in Princeton.
Yeah, but Aunt Libbett was a little bigger than Mother.
She was taller.
Yeah. Aunt Libbett was like 5'10", and I think Mother was like 5'4". She always said she was 5'8".
Or 5'9". She was very funny.
Anyway.
So tell me more about what happened in this room and how this room came
about. The table, as far as we know, was always here. Right. But it would seat 8.
Right. There was a steel beam that Grandfather had to put through.
Yeah, he put it right across here. I think that's where it was.
When he took the wall out?
He took everything.
When you say he did it, did he personally do it, or you had someone do it?
He certainly supervised it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had probably a workforce here because he won that money at the Salmagundi Club and got the prize of the year or something.
Maybe he did.
Got some money.
anyway, we're not sure exactly when.
Okay.
But then the ceiling probably looks superb. It doesn't anymore because of the water business.
Yeah, the pipes froze in the attic.
So tell me what happened in this room.
It was a great dance hall.
It was salon. It
in
was
this
a salon.
Room, there was dancing?
Yeah, my mother would have give a party. She'd give maybe one or two parties a year, invite all her friends. Prohibition was over, so everybody was whoopingly drunk and having a wonderful time, and it was very gay.
Well, there was no clutter here, I'm
no
sure.
No clutter.
It was
you
very
just picture
simple.
This room as
was
being
very
empty.
Simple.
They'd roll up the rug, whatever they had, and roll it up to the side.
So yeah. Who would have been here dancing?
The Nimmicks.
Oh, this is later.
The Childs.
I think grandfather...
that was
he would have salons,
think.
He did. Probably. He had people for tea. And
For dinner.
And, prospective buyers, maybe, in here for tea.
Yeah, I think
in the winter, and it's a nice fireplace here. There was a nice fireplace there, wasn't there?
They're on the other side,
yeah.
And, what do you know about these prospective buyers who came by? What's the family lore about them?
There's really no family lore about them at all. They, wherever they were.
There was one visit that was documented, and that was the man down in Delaware.
Oh.
The illustrator.
Oh yes,
he came
Wyatt?
N.C.
Oh, yes, right.
N.C. Wyatt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what
and
was
he
the
loved
purpose
it.
Of his visit?
Apparently he loved the
he
setup.
Loved, yeah, he loved
and
the setup.
And he wrote grandfather a letter, but I don't know where it is.
Probably the museum has
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway.
Things come and go.
Yeah, right. Anyway, he really liked the way grandfather
Yeah, they wrote a very nice
arranged.
Letter, I remember. I'm sure it's around.
I'm not clear. Yeah. Was this interest in the property or in the art?
No, just interested in the art.
Yeah. He was interested.
Right.
And so there was that little bit of thing between the illustrator and the fine artist.
Right.
That's all.
Well, he said he would like to do the same, but maybe he had a lot. He had a lot of kids himself.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And so all of them became painters.
Uh-huh. They all did.
Henriette and. All
who did
them,
she marry? They moved out to the Southwest.
Peter Hurd.
Peter Hurd. Yeah.
I love Peter Hurd's
work.
His work really beautiful. He used to do these plains paintings where you'd see the rain in you'd see the rain in one place. And the hills. It's really very beautiful, very poetic.
Well, they were brought up more like artist children than any daddies.
Yeah, right. The daddies were
they were
got nitty gritty.
Yeah, they were. Daddy did go to Harvard, but he
Joe and Daddy. Joe Doe is Daddy's older brother. He and Daddy were recruited to be the crew on boating trips, and they did not like it.
No, Joe definitely didn't like that.
And I don't think Daddy liked it particularly either.
Didn't.
But, he's a landlubber. Nobody got into boats.
No, they didn't get into boats.
They didn't get into boats.
So you're saying that grandfather recruited them?
No,
I don't understand who recruited them.
Grandfather,
the boys were supposed to work.
The boys
right?
had to be. And so they had to be his crew when he wanted to do certain things, I guess.
He crewed that boat all by himself.
Oh, I know he did.
He didn't need anybody.
No, he didn't. That's true, but
Joe
didn't want to.
Joe was definitely against it.
Well, they definitely didn't particularly care for boats,
no.
I don't think.
Uh-huh. Nope. Not after the trip down the river they took in flood.
Well, that was just chutzpah.
1904
or something.
1904, they all went sailing down the river.
They decided to go down the river.
1903, wasn't it? It was one of those
well,
high
one,
flood
Well,
one,
a big
years.
Flood. Yeah. A big flood. They decided they would take a boat down the river, which they did, and luckily they survived it. They were hauled in by somebody.
What is Bill doing out there?
Probably hauled in by someone.
He was, and the doctor brought them home.
And the
Dr. Bleakhouse. I forget his name.
Oh, that's what Nora says, but I don't
know. That's who it was. But what he was doing in New Hope, I guess he had a practice in New Hope.
I don't know. Anyway, a doctor who had a practice in New
Alaska.
Hope was somewhere on 202 or off 202. He lived. He took them home via 202 and I guess the back roads. That's what I heard. That's what somebody told me.
Well, I think he brought them home up River Road because he was in New Hope.
Well, could you get up River Road? I don't
know. I guess by horse and buggy you could, because that's how they did it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the canal looked like at that.
The canal? Well, it was all flooded.
Probably pretty well flooded. So he probably took them... Probably had to take them back up 202, because I remember the 202 business, and probably brought them down through Solbury.
Maybe they did. Anyway, could have done that easily enough.
Reprimanded them. Anyway, I don't know what happened to that boat.
Speaking
it was
of
probably
floods,
a little boat.
Speaking of floods, where were you during the 1955 flood?
Waiting.
Here.
She was waiting.
We were... W-A-D-I-N-G or...
It was to her knees.
Let's talk about that. Exactly where were you living? Which building?
Right over here in the Cooper Shop.
You were in the Cooper Shop.
Right.
Okay. And what do you remember? What happened?
Well, I remember that we had tremendous rains after a very long drought. We had one very heavy rain.
Well, it was part of the hurricane.
And then we had another very heavy rain during this week in August. It was like August 20th or something.
Okay.
Anyway, the last rain was from dawn till dusk, as well as I remember, and it was just like I've never seen rain like it. And I mean, I was I was a little dumb 20-year-old, and I said to my husband, or I was 21, just married. I said to my husband that I thought the river would flood.
Right.
You know, not really thinking much about it, but thinking that's an awful lot of water. Raining from dawn till dusk, because it was like a cloudburst all day long. And he said, he poo-pooed it. He said, oh no, it's not going to do it. Well, by evening time, it had risen in the canal and 2 feet into the Cooper Shop. Mm-hmm. So I was waiting in the house.
Right.
And then it went down.
Yeah.
And the reason it went down is because of a bridge had lodged right against the bank.
I'm sorry, what lodged?
Part of a bridge, not a river bridge. Canal bridge, probably.
Canal bridge,
had lodged against the bank. And it started making a rivulet across the lawn. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and took out the whole whole yard right up against the foundation of the back porch, and it was about 15 feet deep.
It dropped,
and then it dropped right
into the mud or
into the mill.
Into the mill.
It dropped.
Everything went into the mill. Everything went. And also River Road went into the mill, too.
And how
River
about Dionysus?
River Road was completely washed out, just totally gone.
How about Dionysus? He went down there. It was
in
the
that's
pile.
Right. Mother had a little garden statue.
It was not a little garden statue. It was a fairly good-sized bronze.
He was a bronze sculptor.
Dionysus.
He stood about this high, and he had like a little ring, and he put a plant in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was Italian, and I think my grandmother, Granny Cadell, and grandfather had bought it in Italy and brought it home because
sure
they loved Italian things. And they, yes, it is. Anyway, so they brought it home after the grand tour or something. So anyway, Dionysus went down there and a whole bunch of other things. And that beautiful bench, grandfather had made this beautiful sort of circular garden with a cement and stone bench. He created it for, you know, to plant pretty things there. And the whole thing washed out. But the bench was attached somehow to the root cellar.
It was attached to the root cellar. And just sort of
so the bench is
bit.
Still there,
it's
but
tilted.
It's tilted. And there, it will never be plumb again.
Never. A lot of people have tried to make it plumb.
That whole garden was washed out.
Everything was
just disappeared into the mill. And probably out through the channel.
Oh, it went out through
out
the,
into the
canal.
Into the river.
Into the river.
And what else? Let's let Jill finish and then we'll come back.
Well, it was just an amazing thing. We have pictures of that.
It was two hurricanes.
We have flood pictures.
It was two
hurricanes meeting up.
Yeah, it was Diane and the other one, I forget.
Right, in 1 week.
Yeah, Diane and...
If you think we got it bad...
Well, what did you do then? So you're living in the Cooper Shop, there are 2 feet of water...
Yeah, but it's only downstairs and there's no
It was
cellar.
Just the downstairs. Then it disappeared. The water went down because it started cutting a hole in the lawn.
Yeah.
And right straight across it went. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger, of course, because that's what water does when it's in flood and it wants an out. And down there was an absolute lake. It was a lake. It
all
was a lake all the
way.
And
you're gesturing toward where it...
The mill parking lot.
The mill parking lot was underwater.
Everything was underwater.
How much water?
Up to the first, right
floor.
Up under the first floor of the mill. It was a lake all the way back.
To
the waterfall.
Yeah.
If you can see the waterfall anymore.
You can't see it anymore.
Anyway, that's what it was like. And it was just...
And Megan was how old? You were pregnant, but Megan was 3 months old, so I didn't spend much time out here.
Where were you? So you weren't living here during the flood?
No, I lived in the school.
Nora?
Yeah.
But we have a
You're
wonderful
living in the
picture.
I lived in the schoolhouse where Uncle Joe married the, what was her name?
Catherine
Williams.
Williams, right.
Uh-huh.
And they had a huge farm out, probably most of the Jericho Valley out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Hedges Farm.
The Hedges Farm, a very
which
beautiful
is now
farm.
What is
I don't know name? Who has it now.
It's an Italian name, and I think he has a nursery.
A nursery or something.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So you're living in the schoolhouse.
Yeah.
And just for the record, which schoolhouse was that?
The one on Pidcock Creek Road.
Okay.
Uncle Joe owned it, and he rented it to us.
Uh-huh.
So Megan was born there.
Born in Trenton.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we stayed there for a while. And it's a lovely place to stay. I wish we could have bought it.
We have a picture of little Megan. They brought heavy equipment in.
Yes. And her father put her in a bulldozer.
Her father sat her in a bulldozer seat. This tiny baby. And took a photograph of her in the seat with all the rubble all around.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's really cute.
It is funny.
Very cute, Megan.
She
little
didn't
Megan.
Know.
She didn't know.
No.
Was
she didn't.
She didn't remember.
No. Uh-huh. She's too little.
Uh-huh.
I didn't come here too much when it was flooding.
No. But anyway, Dr. Dinell lived across the street. He lived in the neighbor's house.
The
right
Williams
over
house.
There,
Mrs.
Right?
Williams house.
Mrs. Williams house. And
she was
he
a patron
and,
of the
and
arts.
Mitty, he and his wife Mitty came over and I think they spent the whole night in the kitchen talking to Daddy and
having a few.
Right. And having a few, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So who liked to have a few?
Everybody.
Oh, everybody.
Prohibition was over and everybody just went completely drunk. Yeah. But you know, they used to love to go to the inn up here, the Colligan's.
Okay.
Because at Colligan's you could get a beer and a roast beef sandwich, magnificent, for a dollar. And that's where they went.
Right.
The bar at Colligan's was very popular.
This is Mother's Generation.
Mother's Generation.
Mother's Generation. Yeah. So your parents would go there.
Right. Yes. And right. Fall and Jack Follansbee.
The Follansbees. Everybody went.
Everybody.
Tell me about the Follansbees. So they were friends with your parents?
Yeah. And Jack would come up and I think he made a trip one time up from mm-hmm. his house, right up the towpath in his wheelchair.
He did. He did. Right.
She couldn't believe that Jack had come up the towpath.
From where?
He lived in North Main Street of New Hope. Sally Jesse Raphael bought it and swished it around, made it fancy.
Terribly fancy.
Terribly fancy, so it's lost a lot of its character, but mm-hmm. that's where they lived. And now they've surrounded it with sort of pseudo mansions, you know, those awful,
yes.
Which stop, there's no air can get into New Hope.
No, Jill said this is
because they just make sure that nobody can see the river.
Everything is cheap.
And it's buried.
And all the open little spaces that were open aren't open anymore.
Right.
So we're talking about your parents' era. So the Follansbees overlapped from your grandfather to your parents' era?
Oh, yeah. Well, they didn't particularly. I don't think Jack liked... I think Jack enjoyed
Jack liked
our grandfather's stuff.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And grandfather liked Jack's stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they were friends, but it was a whole... He was a younger generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was younger.
He was a friend of Bob Miller... Yeah. Brad Miller and our Uncle Steve Strang, who taught at Solbury, and Daddy, and so that was Jack's generation, and let's see what else. And Ruth was a friend of Mother's.
Ruth is Ruth Follansbee.
Ruth Follansbee.
Yeah.
Was a friend of your mother's.
She lived to be 102.
Was she an artist also?
No.
Mother did a beautiful painting of Beth. Beth Follansbee.
Who's Beth?
But
who's
Beth? It's
the daughter.
Yeah, it's in a point of really not being savable.
Oh, I think you could save it.
I hope you can save it anyway. It's beautiful.
What happened to it?
Well, people let things go,
and
they don't frame them, and they get torn or something.
Right.
we have paintings. We don't even know who did them here, which were done in grandfather's era, and also mother's. You know, and mother.
We were trying to figure out the name of the man who we knew for. We knew the name for a long time. We didn't know him,
mm-hmm.
but there are pictures. And when our mother first came up here, she said the first thing happened was that Mr. Cole had died recently.
Yeah, right.
And this man had come in that great big Rolls Royce, mm-hmm. the blonde to Kenzon.
Yeah.
And so he was here for a little while, but then they went to California and he became a curator out there. Of one of the museums, and I forget which museum it was, but that's what his story was. But he spent quite a bit of time here with mm-hmm. and there are pictures mm-hmm. of and Jimmy going out to paint. Mm-hmm. Remember that? They did do that.
Also...
Jimmy?
Jimmy was his friend.
Jimmy Reynolds.
Jimmy Reynolds.
Was he the dramatic one that you mentioned once we were chatting?
He was sort of show busy.
Jimmy Reynolds?
Yeah, Jimmy Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember. Isn't that funny?
No, I can't think of his name either.
You're talking about the Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
And you think he was royalty, you mentioned? Or no?
No, he was not
just bought
royal.
It. He probably bought it. Maybe he bought it in New York. Rolls-Royce?
I don't know, but he had this Rolls-Royce for a while.
And Mother was imaginative, and that's maybe why she said King Zog.
Oh, okay.
No,
so that
she
was
didn't
just
along that King Zog. He was a Belgian king.
Boy, she was something.
She said that in jest.
She had an invitation to a garden party because this was a grand tour for young ladies.
Yeah. Oh, this is England.
We're talking about England, your mother.
This is just our mother.
Okay,
this is just a funny little thing.
Okay.
So she and Peggy Ferguson, who was her partner in crime, was always to sort of ditch the babysitter. They called it.
The duenna.
She was a duenna.
Always went with
the tour. She was a hired woman of an elder age who took girls on trips.
Okay.
You know, if she could handle them. But what they did was get in the line for the garden party when they were doing the receiving line.
Right.
And they wanted to meet the Prince of Wales, which of course was not married to Mrs. Simpson at the point.
Mm-hmm.
It was the debutante.
It's sort of a debutante. Yeah, it was.
Trained to be a debutante.
Yes,
kind
right.
of thing.
But nobody became
a debutante.
In
time.
Our family, ever. But no. They went with the debutante group, I guess.
Okay.
Probably due to our granny, Goodell. She probably had some connections.
Well, whatever.
She said that poor Mrs. So-and-so got down in a curtsy and couldn't get up.
What is your so?
They'd go down to the bottom of the line, join the line again, and come back to meet the Prince of Wales again. And what have you enjoyed here in England? And, of course, the two little girls looked at each other. They didn't know what to say. They said, well, we saw you carved in butter. And they had evidently gone someplace, and the Prince of Wales was carved in butter. Some dairy thing, you know. I mean, really. Just really funny. And the Russians. Yes, well, who was a Russian?
You mean Prokofiev?
No. The Russian, well, it was part of that entourage on the train.
Oh.
It was a Russian entourage of some sort.
But
on
was
the train.
Prokofiev?
Was it Prokofiev?
I think so.
It was something very Russian.
Right.
And Granny said they were snicking people's nostrils.
Why?
It was a cocaine thing.
Oh.
Granny.
But
I don't know where was that?
It was on the train somewhere.
Yeah, but was it here or was it
there? Oh, no,
it
was in Europe. It was when they were in Europe.
Because so this is when your mother was in Europe, same trip when she saw
Yeah, probably the same trip.
Grandfather was grandfather used to play tennis with those people.
No, what? That was the cricket
It's Marion Cricket Club?
Not Marion Cricket Club. It's the other one.
It was not the
Chestnut Hill one. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's come back
tennis.
To the U.S.
All right, let's
So,
okay.
We talked about Uncle Harry.
Yes.
We talked about Jack Follansbee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jack Follansbee took his wheelchair from New Hope down the canal to visit here.
Yeah, he did come up to visit.
That's remarkable.
And really remarkable. He was very strong in his upper body, but he was useless down below.
He was.
So my father would carry him. He'd carry him from the car.
Right. Or whatever. Whatever he was going to do.
He would carry him.
Anyway.
Because Daddy was a big
Jack
person.
Was not always crippled. He was not.
No,
it happened here, as a matter of fact.
I think it
happened
here. Yeah, it did happen here.
What happened?
He went swimming.
He got polio.
And he got polio. Nobody knows how you get polio, but he got polio. And
flood waters.
Anyway, he there's a picture that Eleanor has of Bob Miller, Uncle Steve, and Jack Ballinsby. And Jack Ballinsby is a beautiful man still. He's wearing a bathing suit. He's wearing he's in his bathing suit. And he's standing on his legs, so he didn't, it must have been here that he got that.
Is that the Cuban story?
That's the Cuban story. And Nora has to tell you the Cuban story.
No, I'm not going to tell you the Cuban story.
Yes, you have to, because that's really quite amazing. This is a photograph that
Eleanor
Miller has that Dara Miller was told
that they were three Cubans.
That they were three Cubans. No, that they were two Cubans. No. Bob Miller was the
picture
of her her father, Dara's father. And the two men, Dara said, "Daddy, who are these two men?" And he said, "Oh, they're Cubans, because this was taken in Cuba."
It was taken in Cuba, and yet it's Jack and...
It's Jack.
It's the Jersey Shore.
We know it's the Jersey Shore. If it's anything, Sandy. It's the Jersey Shore. It's Bob Miller, Jack Ballinsby, and Uncle Steve.
And Dara bought this story about... Cubans?
Yeah.
That's what her father
said.
Because her father loved to tell tall tales.
He was a teen.
He was an Irish
jokester.
He was quite so.
Anyway,
go on.
So then Dara said, I think you're right. That's Jack Ballinsby.
That is Uncle Steve. That's who it was.
That's who they are.
Yeah.
And she agreed with us, but it was like a terrible blow to her, because her daddy could tell wonderful stories.
Yeah, he was fun.
Anyway, Jack Ballinsby was still whole at that time, mm-hmm. and it was the, like, 30s, mm-hmm. early
probably.
30s, probably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But everybody was at the seashore somewhere.
Right. Somewhere at the seashore.
Right, right.
But Bob loved to romanticize things like schooners.
He had been to Cuba, I'm sure.
You know, that's what he liked. Uh-huh. Banana boats.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know what? I think our time is almost up for today, but I'm going to give you some homework.
Uh-oh.
All right, you'll have to give us homework because we can't.
Okay. Yeah. You were going to, I think you were going to ask Julian for some dates or a family tree.
Right.
Okay. And that's fine. I don't need anything formal, but
he's not speaking to us right
isn't
now.
There because we took, isn't there a family?
He's not speaking to you?
Who is this?
Dad, Julian.
He gets mad at
that. No, he does.
Okay.
Because I tell him about the electric bill, he doesn't like to hear that. He doesn't want to hear about the electric bill. But I figure $20 isn't too bad, so he can't be too mad.
No.
But so, he lives in the end apartment.
What I want to do, is talk about next time how the theater evolved here.
Yeah.
The mill evolve into what it is today?
It evolved probably through Jimmy Reynolds and all those people.
That sort
and
of
St.
thing.
Terrell,
yeah, that was
those.
Very, probably made of sort of a...
I think that those two boys, were New Yorkers,
Dr. Marshall owned the mill,
and there was a great influx at that time. New Yorkers.
He did run the mill.
For some reason.
Dr. Marshall ran the mill,
mm-hmm.
Not personally, but he certainly oversaw it.
Yeah.
For the local farmers after he bought it.
That's true.
Yeah. So he ran it as a flour mill, grist mill.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that was that. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And then it gradually evolved into more of a...
Yeah. But the theater people, I'm sure, what's her name, was moved in here. What is her name? Oh, the God. All
Which
I can
was?
Think of is, the Round Table, the New Yorker people.
Oh, right.
All those New Yorker people.
Yeah, I know.
Who were you trying to think of?
They all had farms around in
New
Jersey
farms.
And whatnot. Didn't Mr. And what was that who called his place Rising Gorge?
Yeah, right.
What did he call it? He called it Rising Gorge. Well, that was really funny.
Anyway, they were...
Perlman.
Yeah, S.J. Perlman.
Yeah, he called his farm Rising Gorge.
I don't get it.
And Mary...
Rising Gorge is this... Coming up, the Rising Gorge is my Rising Gorge is my...
And was it Mary McCarthy?
I don't know. I don't think so.
What was her name?
You mean the witty one?
The round table person.
The round table.
She was up there.
Yes, she was.
She was on Cafferty Road or something.
Yeah. That still exists. I was up
there. I can't. Dorothy Parker.
Dorothy Parker.
Dorothy.
Yeah. Dorothy. Yes. How could we forget Dorothy Parker?
Oh, well, we shouldn't.
Anyway, Daddy loved the New Yorker, and when the New Yorker started, he just bought the New Yorker. He loved the New Yorker. So I buy the New Yorker, too, because it sort of stuck with
wonderful.
Jill and I, and we love the New Yorker.
It's great. Mm-hmm.
It tells you where everything about what to do, where to go, CD or un-CD.
It's great.
Then we see some wonderful pictures of those boys in that apartment weathering some hurricane with trees whipping around their place. That was in the Bronx, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in the Bronx. It was the Bronx.
It was the Bronx there. That was fun. That was on the television.
That's when the tornado went through. They had a tornado.
One of those storms.
Anyway.
Well, we'll hope we'll escape them this year.
Yeah.
Do you think you would be able to do something like this?
Well, I think we could probably get Julian.
So, okay. You said that your father had, he was one of five siblings.
Yes.
Is that right?
He was the youngest.
He was the youngest boy,
and his name, and he was known as Babe.
His nickname was Babe?
Babe.
Called him Babe.
He was Babe.
His mother and his father probably called him the Babe. Because
he was the Babe. He was the Babe. And then she had two daughters.
Then she had two more daughters.
And then she had two more after that.
Yeah, two more after that, yeah. The girls.
Libet.
And Ellen.
Libet.
Yes.
And Ellen.
Yeah, right.
And then they were the two girls.
Yeah.
And then who else?
That's enough. There were five of them.
Babe, Ellen, Libet.
And, well, Nancy was the eldest.
Right.
And Nancy was the eldest. Nancy had a tough time.
She had a very tough time.
Why is that?
Well, she was sort of a fragile person in a way. She had this great thing of sort of considering herself better than anybody else who lived locally, like the townspeople. And I think there was a rub there because they had a lot of the townspeople working here. Yeah. They took jobs.
And not only that, but there were farmers.
Farmers.
It was mostly farms.
It was very rural.
Nancy
was a little bit of the lord of the manor thing she had. We don't know where it came from, but it was there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She never went to school.
No, she was.
She went
very precious.
If she did go to school, it would have been in Ohio.
Yeah,
a little
she
bit,
did.
Maybe.
There was
Ohio.
A.
But she was.
Yeah, because that's where
she was taught by her father. I guess her father taught her. Maybe they
he
had
did.
Tutors. Maybe they had tutors.
I don't think they were tutored. I think her father did teach her a lot.
Yeah.
He taught her things that she should know, beginning school.
Because he learned very early, because he learned, I guess he could read the Bible on somebody's lap.
Yeah.
And he learned, that's how he learned.
Well, his father was a doctor, but he had TB, so he could practice.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He couldn't practice in the Civil War.
No.
Yeah.
Well, Bill used to laugh and say, well, he got out of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. He did.
For having TV.
Yeah.
Do you think I could ask Julian for the
Sure.
Yes, Julian has a book. He has all kinds of. He has all kinds of.
He just
knowledge.
Gets mad when I get
He's
my.
Really.
Well, do you want to ask him, or do you want me to? Because I need to start piecing all these together.
You can ask him, but I think he should be interviewed too, because he really
he knows a lot. It used to be Bill Bowen who used to know everything.
See, we know the funny romantic kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, we know the funny thing.
Yeah,
and
you
things
know all
that
the
have
great
been
stories.
Elaborated on.
We had an upright piano here, and it sat right there.
Yeah,
and they would. There was a man named Hanky, as Granny called him, Hanky Panky Solomon. And Hanky Panky Solomon used to play jazz
and
on
Earl
this old
Crooker.
Upright.
And Earl
and it
Crooker.
Was right, and Earl Crooker was here, and they would do whole musical. They wrote musical comedies. They did, what was the name of that Scottish one?
Well, they Brigadoon, but it was stolen.
It was
the
stolen
idea was
by
stolen.
Lerner and Lowe.
So they settled
but
out
they
of
took
court.
Their idea and stuff.
They settled out of
they
court.
They settled out of court, and I think they made some $5,000. Dummy thing. Not much.
Anyway.
Because you
but,
can't sue
but
people
they,
like that.
Hanky Panky and Earl Crooker were wonderful
were good
song
for,
and dance men.
Yeah, that's what they were. And they would do all the parts.
Yeah.
Or Earl would do all the parts. He'd stand right there, do all the parts.
And Hanky Panky
of the musicals
sit.
That they'd written. And it was so much fun. We would sit right on the
right.
as close as we could get.
And Hanky Panky was a large pink man.
Yes, he was pink.
And Earl Crooker was a small, normal looking person,
yeah.
but really charming.
They were really sort of Tin Pan Alley people. Or Hanky Panky, was it? That was fun.
And
it was really fun.
And he was married to Ruthie Crooker.
Ruthie Crooker.
Hanky Panky, I don't think, was married.
You remember?
Or if Hanky Panky was married,
Ruth?
She never got here. But
Ruth. He may have been. But anyway, Ruth used to drive her upright car around, and she had white curls. And they had a dog named Blanche. She used to ride in the front seat with also a
Blanche. I never forget that. They called it Blanche.
It was a little old house in Carversville. The ancient, that sort of fieldstone one as you're driving in on.
Which one?
The
on
fieldstone.
The Leesydale Road?
No, the one that, as you come in on Aquaton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just beyond all the ranch houses, there's this sort of
well,
old house.
They were in an old house.
Yeah.
And it went down, well, you know, along the creek there.
Yeah, went along the creek, which was always
very iffy.
Slightly dangerous.
I don't know. I think people had, like, their, you know, they had a first floor and a second floor, and then they had stilts or something. I remember.
Do you want to answer that one? I don't think it's anything.
It
I think it's those people
one of
who
them.
Keep harassing us.
Right.
The people from, I don't care. Did they call you from India or something? They don't answer.
So they played the piano right over in the
corner, right
and
in the
this
corner.
Is just for fun? Is
fun,
it
yeah.
A party?
It was a
what,
dance.
What
parties, and everybody
dance.
Danced. They roll up this rug, wax the floors. They were wonderful floors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the harassers.
The harassers, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We call them them.
Them.
Well, maybe we can pick up and hear more about the parties. And the
well, the parties were fun.
They were very
social. And they'd have skating parties in the winter. That's where my mother lost her knee, practically, because she was on ice skates with a couple of drinks. It's not the thing to do.
No.
So they have big bonfire. Yeah. And on the canal. It was great fun.
And all the people who couldn't skate well would have a chair to push around.
And the Nimmicks wouldn't hire babysitters, so they would bring the children. So we had our friends there to watch out that big window.
Right.
We'd sit up in the big window and watch the skating party. Yes. Right. Grandfather's Palladium window. Outrageous.
Uh-huh.
Grandfather did have that fancy bit to him.
Yes, he did.
to stick that palladium in. I think that's what happened to Nancy.
Nancy.
Yeah.
What happened to Nancy?
Well, she got an idea that she was better than anybody else. You know, that kind of thing. It happens to people.
Was it the palladium window?
No, not because of that, but grandfather put in a palladium window at the end of this house.
The palladium window was basically for
his studio.
Light for his studio.
It was a north light.
Okay.
But why? It's not a north light.
No, it's an east light, but it was as good as he could get.
Right.
Yeah.
For some reason,
because there was
put anything like that maybe on the north.
Well, no, because actually the bathroom that they had just installed, probably not too long ago, that would have ruined. They would have had to take that wall out and that, and eliminate the bathroom there at that end. And nobody wanted to do that because that was a rental, and use it as a rental.
So you're referring to the preferred northern light?
Yeah, the north
the
light for the studio.
So he settled for the east.
There is.
On the studio, there's
a real light.
The real studio.
Yeah, that's where
we want to live. He settled for the east because of the rentals.
That's right. Yeah, he settled for that because he knew that that was, and also that was the Doge's mirror.
Oh, God.
The Doge's mirror came out of a place in Princeton.
We really don't know where that came from. Somebody said that it's Bob Shaw. It was Bob Shaw's.
No. Unless he bought it from that place in Princeton.
I haven't the slightest idea.
You know, there's a place in Princeton. It's a private residence. It was a private residence. Built as a private residence. It's at the other end of Princeton. Going out toward 518 in that area. And Uncle Ralph helped with the designing of it, because he was an architect in Princeton at that time. He was the Colonial Revival.
Right.
So that was partially his doing, but this man collected things from Europe. He bought things that he liked.
Well, he was a professor.
Would he be a professor of... He's probably a professor with unlimited means.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he wasn't an art.
He might have been an art. You could find
history,
that.
Art history, because he had everything.
So we have a mirror from that. And a lot of this, the brasses and things, came via that, you know, because he would bring something down. And we have that little salt cellar.
Right.
Which I don't think these people would have bought ever.
What's his name? Dawes said it was. He thought it was a salt cellar. It was not an incense burner.
Well, that's true, and he probably is right. But we prefer to think it was ancient.
He said it might be ancient. I have a friend
who
could eyeball it, and he will tell you whether it's 19th century.
Or
16th century.
Or 6th century.
It's a salt cellar.
We'll have to show it to you.
We thought it was an incense burner.
We thought it was an incense burner, which Daddy and Granny, in their smoking days, like chimneys, used as an ashtray.
You want to see it?
Sure.
We'll show it to
you. Is it handy?
Yes, I think it's right on the shelf outside. Jill and I were always very impressed with this. We like this. This is interesting to us. Daddy's trips to Mexico and to Chichen Itza and all that, Daddy went with those things. So he brought stuff back too. Not too much, but, you know, little bits. I think Daddy was a great pot hunter. You know, he liked things like that. And he would lift it. He would lift it if he could.
Okay. All right. Oh, so this
here
is the...
This is a salt cellar.
This is the salt cellar.
Off the ashtray. Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
Isn't that something?
Something.
Just love this. It's we don't know how we're going to divide this up with Jill and I. So
it
we have
is
to fight
fabulous.
With us.
No, we'll just leave it.
Well, I think the person who should have it. The person who really should have it is Julian.
Why
is that?
The person who really should have it is anyone who wants it.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah.
I can see why you love it.
Yeah, we always liked
that. We always thought it was an incense burner.
That's what we thought, yeah.
Well,
but he said, no, that's a salt.
Works as one, right?
It's a salt. It
totally works as one. So what is this, bronze?
Yeah, it's bronze. It is bronze.
He isn't sure whether it was 16th century.
But he's
or
one of the
19th.
Knowledgeable people on the road show.
That's a big...
You know, that was started by Afonsby. The road show, yeah. Well, which Follinsby was that?
Cook.
Yeah, Peter Cook.
Oh,
yeah. He's a Follinsby?
He's a Follinsby.
Well, he's married to
him. Married to a Follinsby, yeah. Oh, we knew Peter Cook because they were all getting married at the time when we were little. They were getting married. And so we, of course, knew Peter Cook.
Anyway, it's quite wonderful.
It is.
It is.
It certainly isn't cider.
It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary.
So we took it down, and there was Nicholas Dawes was there from the road show.
Lost wax.
Yeah.
And he couldn't pin it down any closer than that.
No, not like that. No, he said it's either a copy or a ancient. One or the other. He said, I'm not that. He does porcelains and things of that sort. Uh-huh. So he really didn't.
So you really
but he just happened to be there. Right.
He had a person.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. Well, look, why don't we stop here?
Okay, we'll stop.
Shall we set up another time for next week?
Okay.
Now, next Thursday is the 4th of July, so
we don't care about that. How about Wednesday?
Now, does Wednesday work for you?
Any time really works for us.
10 o'clock, July 3rd?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
No reason why not.
Well,
because we don't do this whoop-de-doo except put a flag out. We put our flag out, and that's it. If we can get somebody to hang.
Can you still get strawberries? I'm just curious.
I don't
know. Not at Menoff and not at Menonsuch Farms.
Sure. No.
Unfortunately,
well,
they're done.
We missed the whole thing.
Yeah, we missed it.
You missed them entirely?
We missed it entirely.
It was a really short season this year.
Yes, because of the weather.
Yeah. So I've got 10 o'clock.
The 3rd.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
July. I said
no, it's Wednesday.
But it was Wednesday. You were
Wednesday.
Right the first time.
Oh, whichever. It really doesn't matter to us.
Tuesday's the 2nd.
Wednesday.
That's Julian's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, the 2nd is Julian's birthday.
So I'll write this down.
Okay.
10 o'clock Wednesday, July 3rd.
We're giving
10 o'clock.
Okay. Yes. We'll tell Julian we are giving you to Julian for his birthday.
It's a deal. Do you think it's okay if I just pop in on him at the... At the bookstore?
Yes, sure. You could at least make up, you know.
Okay, signing off.
He has to take...